Hello, my name is Sybil Ottenstein, a very dear and close friend of Lauren's, and I wanted to share a story that in many ways encompasses our relationship and I think a lot of the elements that make her who she is for the Phoenix Project. It's taken me a little longer than I would have liked to have done this, just sort of been something I've avoided because, of course, it is part of a greater acceptance process of loss and of grief. But basically, Lauren and I met in Israel about 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago, and it was this almost passionate friendship romance of sorts, you could say. We met and really almost immediately afterwards were very deeply ingrained in one another's lives and stayed that way. Well, I still feel we are very much that way. Just a very intense recognition of oneself and the other. We would refer to each other as mirrors for one another, through which, you know, we could see our weaknesses and flaws and insecurities and joys and loves and passion, and everything was very much a reflection with us. So what we used to do was just have these long kind of sessions, be it on the phone if we were in different parts of the world, or at my apartment, at her apartment, out and about, traveling, wherever we were. And we would just dive deep. You know, we would sort of pick a topic and then intellectually, spiritually, emotionally, just dive in together and analyze and dissect and discuss for hours and days and weeks and months on end until we really feel like we'd kind of solved the conundrum, if you will. So the one I wanted to share, it's one that it's quite simple, but I think it's quite beautiful. We were, I think, just both off of breakups of some sort of frustrating romantic situations. We were in a similar moment in that realm. And we were just sort of sitting over coffee and cigarettes in her apartment. And we're basically just like at this kind of existential point of like, what is actually good? What is beautiful? What is true? What is good? What is just sort of simple goodness in the world? Everything was so complicated and stressful and, you know, prone to overthinking. And we just wanted to strip it all away and really be able to identify that pure, clean, beautiful truth. So, you know, we started going with our list, and first came, you know, the feeling of butterflies in your stomach after you meet someone you're attracted to, and then we, you know, quickly nixed that because we all know that accompanied by those beautiful and excited butterflies come the evil, insecure butterflies that can rack your stomach with, you know, a horrible feeling. And back and forth we went with many different ideas of what could potentially be good because it has that momentary real sense of goodness, but in actuality it's quite, you know, transient or shallow. So to really continue and make the list that we were envisioning, we set up some ground rules that the good thing, whatever it may be, it must be good in any context, at any time, in any place. You know, it has to be just sort of like constantly good. It can't be conditionally good. And so unconditional goodness, and it has to really be good for everyone. So it can't be something that is, you know, sort of a zero-sum game, my good equals your bad. It has to be universally and unconditionally good. So, you know, we go on with our ping-ponging back and forth of ideas, and this really goes on for months and months. It's just an ongoing dialogue, constantly with pinging each other in the middle of the night with ideas, discussing, nixing, meeting up, talking about it, asking people about it, brainstorming, just endless. And finally, we settled on three, which we do feel are, you know, the best things in life. That's sort of how we call the list. The first thing is chapstick. Well, the feeling really of putting on chapstick. And this, granted, it is the most controversial of things. But, you know, that feeling of your lips are dry, you're really craving that moisture and that, like, amazing feeling of, you know, receiving. And you just pull a little chapstick out of your bag and you put it on those dry babies, and all of a sudden you're like transported to heaven, and it's just an amazing, delicious comfort. It's a really a simple, beautiful pleasure. So chapstick was the first. The second is water. You know, like a cold glass of water on a hot day, or drinking when you're parched, or just everything that it does for your body and for your soul, and how clean and, you know, just fills you with goodness. How water is just the epitome of wellness in many ways. And so, yes, a glass of water was the second one. And then the third one, and this is, you know, very much inspired by Lauren's slightly OCD cleanliness tendencies, was the feeling of getting into clean sheets, getting into a bed with freshly made clean sheets. You know, which we all know is just the warmest, yummiest, most delicious of feelings. And Lauren was a particular fan of it, and I really picked that up from her. Of just, yeah, that like yum bed with clean sheets moment. So those are the three. It's chapstick, water, and clean sheets. At first we were like, how could they be so simple and, you know, so material in nature? But then we realized that simple pleasures are simple pleasures, and to find something that is good unconditionally and universally, you need to really strip it away of all complications and just go to these simple moments of joy. So that's just, you know, a little journey that Laura and I went on trying to identify the best things in life. A casual quest, similar to many of our quests, where we're just really always seeking, and we're very much partners in this journey, asking a lot of big questions, and trying to identify a lot of truths within ourselves and others and the world around us. And it's just been a really special journey, and I would say one of the most special journeys of my life. In many ways, Lauren really opened the doors for me to this exploration, and it's an exploration that I've continued without her ever since she passed away, but in many ways still with her. You know, I still feel that we're very much still communicating and still reflecting, and I feel we're still very much in dialogue, a different form of dialogue, but yes, it's the conversation is continuing. So I'm very grateful for that, and I'm grateful for the community that she has around her, both in life and in death, and to be a part of that community. And she's a sister, and a sister for life. And that's it.